Archbishop Bernard Longley, the last time we spoke here in Rome, you were optimistic about building on the results of the last archic meeting that took place here in Bose in northern Italy. What can you tell us about the results of this second session of the archic talks?
I think our expectations, or rather our hopes, at the end of the first session certainly have, in a large part, have been fulfilled, that this session has given us an opportunity to deepen the dialogue. I think it has strengthened the atmosphere of dialogue in which we've been working and certainly helped us to extend our understanding. And in particular, because we have, I think, this time had to give less time to thinking about our methodology, how we would proceed, and to building relationships, and we've been able actually to devote much more time to the issues themselves. And a solid part of our work together has been reflecting upon the issues which have been part of the mandate from our respective churches. And so that was our hope, and I think it has been fulfilled in the very encouraging and helpful atmosphere of the Mission to Seafarers here in Hong Kong.
The two questions you were looking at specifically were the relationship of the local church to the global church and this question of ethical decision-making. What insights can you share with us, if you like, from your discussions around these two crucial issues?
Those are the two central issues, as you've outlined them. There are some additional tasks that we've been given, and very importantly there, the reception of the documents of Archic 2. But the method of approaching these two central tasks, I say we've begun to get to grips with the material, some of which is the result of assignments to our members over the last year. So we've been, as it were, harvesting the fruits of their work over this last 12 months. Much of that material was passed to the members of the Commission before we came together to work, and I would say it has really deepened our understanding of the experience that we have within each of our communions of what it means to be both local and universal and worldwide. In fact, we've been looking in rather more detail at what it means to be Catholic in relation to the scope in time and across the world as a communion. On the second issue, in fact, today we're in the middle, the very middle of our reflection on a series of case studies. But I think maybe if I don't say too much about that second part of our work, and you may want to refer that to my co-chairman, Archbishop David.
Going back to that first question then, this question of local and universal or worldwide, as you put it, I mean, we're marking the 50th anniversary of Vatican II, and this question of authority, of collegiality, of the relationship of the bishops to the Pope still seem to be at the heart of difficulties within the Catholic Church. In fact, have even come more to the fore recently, I would say. What can you share with us from your meeting there about perhaps ways of resolving these tensions between Rome and the local bishops' conferences?
We've begun to look together, in fact, at certainly looking very carefully at, within the different provinces of the Anglican Communion, the methods of involvement within church governance. But also, we've been looking at the synodality within both traditions. And as we prepare for the Year of Faith, which Pope Benedict announced last year, and the Synod of Bishops, the General Synod of Bishops, which will be on the new evangelization, the scope of synodality for Catholic bishops and the way in which that has been used is something that we've been reflecting on together. So I think actually within the context of our own discussions, greater clarity and something of the history as well of the use of the Synod of Bishops within the Catholic Church and the relationship, the place of the Bishop of Rome within the Synod of Bishops, the relationship with his own teaching office, and that sense that is always there of Peter and the 12 being together. So there has been an opportunity to reflect on that in a way which I think has been beneficial and helpful for the Catholic members of our group as well.
You rightly mentioned the upcoming Year of Faith, the Synod on New Evangelization to take place in October. And of course, ecumenism will be a very significant part of that synod, won't it, especially in the English context?
That's right. I'm certain that the understanding of evangelization and the new evangelization, I think it's a degree, it's a mark of the degree to which we are committed at all levels within our churches to engaging together, that would be unthinkable for us to consider evangelization without also considering the experience of our sister churches. And, of course, the opportunity for ecumenical participation is built into the structures of the Synod of Bishops. So that's going to be an important dimension of it, I'm certain. What we can learn from the experience of other communions is they approach the very same issues in many of the areas where we work together.
Archbishop David Moxon, the last time we spoke in the wake of the first ARCHIC meeting in Bozzè here in northern Italy, you talked to me about unexpected outcomes, positive breakthroughs in the talks. How much have you been able to build on that in a concrete way in this meeting in Hong Kong?
Very much so. In fact, I think the enthusiasm and momentum of that first meeting in Bozzè near Milan has continued. After a year of interim work, we reconvened again for the first time here in Hong Kong, and I noticed within 24 hours that the same spirit and the same positivity, the same potential was already present. And in fact, we've just finished a session this afternoon, which I think will turn out to be very interesting for the churches at large, not only for people who are interested in Anglican, Roman Catholic ecumenism, but also people who are interested in the topics that we're working on.
The topics around the question of ethical decision-making, which is part of the mandate, isn't it, of this session?
Very much so. And we've decided to look in three areas, which we will work on in the next 12 months, how our respective churches have made or are making moral decisions and what methodologies we respectively use. In areas where we might expect to have common agreement at the moment, for example, on slavery, areas where we are still not settled between ourselves, around divorce, for example, contraception, remarriage, and areas where we've got a lot of work to do together with other churches, like nation building, the common good, a theology of work. And so the two churches will be applying their own methodologies, explaining them to each other, and I think that will assist people everywhere in the Christian world who want to use good principles for making moral decisions and ethical decisions in the light of the Christian gospel. I think we'll be offering a resource that will go way beyond the ecumenical world.
You're meeting there in the Anglican Seafarers Mission in Hong Kong, aren't you? Why the choice of this location, and how important is that to the talks that are going on?
It's very important. The chapel here is an Anglican Roman Catholic chapel with one altar. The Anglican Holy Communion, the Roman Catholic Mass, celebrated at different times each week in this one building, where they minister to Roman Catholic, Anglican, and all other Protestant denominations who come through the port of Hong Kong. So we've been sharing our Vespers, our respective Eucharists and Masses, in the same chapel of St. Peter. St. Peter, of course, a resonance for the Catholic Church, but also for the sea. And it's been a very important venue to be in because we've heard of the work of ministry to migrants and also domestic workers in Hong Kong from an Anglican and a Roman Catholic point of view. Both churches have their sleeves rolled up. Both churches are actively pursuing ministry to these people who are at serious disadvantage, both in terms of immigration and in terms of the nature of their domestic work. So that was, again, another ecumenical strand, and it couldn't have been a better venue in that sense. This time, the Anglicans were the host, obviously, in Bozzè, the Catholics were. And although it's very different than Bozzè, which was a monastery, this is a seafarer's mission, there's still the same sense of the context encouraging us and influencing us.
You also met, didn't you, with seminarians there, Chinese seminarians, who will be the next generation of those ministering within the two churches. How important was that, do you think, as a part of this meeting?
Well, that turned out to be a very good example of what ARCHIC is on about in practice, because the two seminaries, the Roman Catholic Seminary of the Holy Spirit and the Theological College of Minghua, the Anglican Theological College, as you say, sent their students to be with us last night, and they admitted when they were with us that they have never formally talked to each other before in Hong Kong. Last night they did, because ARCHIC was present, and we co-hosted, Bernard and I, a discussion between them and between ourselves. And they said at the end of the evening, they must talk formally with each other now. So that's precisely an example of what Arkic is all about, receptive ecumenism on the ground and increasing rapport and interdependence on the ground.